Radha Krishna, go, Bhagavata, Sayam Kun, Radha Kunda, Giri Govardhan, Kijai, Vrindavanam, Kijai, Maturam, Kijai, Navadeeptam, Kijai, Jagannathaswami, Kijai, Yamunamai, Kijai, Srimati Galasri Devi, Kijai, Samaveda Bhakta, Vrindi, Kijai, Gaur Premananda Adibol, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees. All glory is to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, Om Ganat, Miranda Shah, Gananjana, Shilakaya, Chakshur, and Miritam, Yena Tasmai, Shri Gurave Namaha. So, today's a very special day. What's that? Some music? Some Bollywood music we have now? Maybe they can turn it off. So, Bankaro. So today is a very special day in the Vaishnava calendar. It's the appearance day of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who we spoke about this morning. And what I'd like to speak about this evening is a great devotee named Haridas Thakur. It's his disappearance day. So appearance day is called Avirbhava, and disappearance is called Tirobhava in Sanskrit, when someone appears or disappears. So for a Vaishnava, appearing and disappearing are pretty much the same thing, because he's just going somewhere else to preach. It's just like someone going in an airplane, taking an airplane to go somewhere else, and then preaching somewhere else. Like if I leave here in Fiji and I go to New Zealand or Australia or America or something, it's not the end of my life. I'm going somewhere else to serve. So the same thing with the Vaishnava. So as far as Haridas Thakur is concerned, it's very important to understand why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arranged for someone born in a Muslim family to become the Namacharya. Namacharya means the teacher by example of the holy names. So Lord Chaitanya wanted to show that in this age of Kali, Aho Bhattaswa Pachato Gauri Anya Jivagre Vartate Namatubhyam Tepustavus Juhuva Shashna Arya Ramanuchar Nama Granthi Yate, that if one takes seriously to the chanting of Hare Krishna, it's understood he's performed all preliminary rituals and he's a Brahmin. In other words, Haridas Thakur was accepted as the best of the Brahmanas, even though he was not born in a Brahmin caste, Kshatriya caste, Vaishya caste, Shudra caste. He was Malecha caste. You understand? So why is it in India people are so caste conscious? That's an interesting question. Because originally the Vedic literatures didn't teach about caste consciousness. They simply taught that one is of a particular nature, Chatur Varna Maya Shrista, Guna Karma Vibhagasha, and then you take your duty in life according to your nature, not according to your birth. But this happened due to the Brahmanas wanting to exploit people. Because naturally, if someone was a Brahmana, a so-called Brahmana, or a Kali Yuga Brahmana, you wanted your children to take up the same activity, right? And you wanted to have a monopoly on Brahminical activity. You all know what a monopoly is? It's not a game that you play. Monopoly means you have exclusive right to do a particular thing. Because there's, in economics, there is something called the law of supply and demand. You've heard about this? You study economics, you know this. That if you limit the supply, the demand will remain constant and the price will go up. So the Brahmanas wanted that. They wanted to make a lot of money. Of course, Brahmanas should not be interested in money, but in Kali Yuga, many Brahmanas are interested in money. In fact, it says in the Bhagavatam that in Kali Yuga, many demons will take birth in Brahmin families. Not that everybody is a demon, but many. So anyway, so therefore they had this caste distinction. And Haridas Thakur was born in even a non-Vedic, non-Hindu society. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu placed him there because he was actually Lord Brahma, a combination of Lord Brahma and Prahlad Maharaj. So he placed them in such a situation to show the potency of the Lord's holy names. So many, many stories about Haridas Thakur, but perhaps the one that illustrates his detachment from this material world the most is the story of when Maya Devi herself approached Haridas Thakur. For those of you who don't know who Maya Devi is, that's all right. They're just children. Maya Devi is Lord Shiva's wife. And she is the personification of the material energy. That means that everything beautiful in this world is all rolled into her, all rolled into one. You understand? You can imagine, even if an apsara came, you would faint. And in comparison to the apsaras, the people on the earth look like frogs. And you understand? They look at us and they just see, oh, a bunch of frogs or snakes or something. And so anyway, so Maya Devi is just like, you can imagine the most beautiful sunset or sunrise or mountains or beautiful people or whatever. She's that. So Haridas Thakur was chanting the holy names. He had taken a vow to chant 300,000, that's 3 lakhs of names every day. Generally, that takes about 20-something hours. Pretty good, isn't it? Has anyone ever chanted 3 lakhs of names a day? Anyone here ever chanted 2 lakhs of names a day? Anyone here ever chant 1 lakh of names a day? That means 64 rounds. You did. One person. Sunil Gopal did also. Did anyone here ever chant 16 rounds a day? No, no one. A few devotees. So, anyway, so getting back to the point is that he was so determined chanting and also experiencing a higher taste by chanting the Lord's name when Maya Devi came to test him to see if he would actually be attracted to the material energy. And Haridas Thakur, he was chanting in a cave. And this cave was on the bank of the Ganges, and the cave was actually a crocodile hole. I don't know if you've ever been to the Ganges, but there's crocodile caves all over the Ganges. And so he was chanting there, and Maya Devi came, and it said that she exhibited postures that would bewilder even the mind of Lord Brahma. You understand? I can't imitate, so I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to just start shaking my body. It's not attractive if I do that. So she would, and she said, Haridas, you're in the prime of youth, and you're so attractive and handsome. Mm. And who would not be attracted to you? Please fulfill my desire. And what Haridas said, okay, but I have to finish my rounds. So he kept chanting his rounds. First night, she was a little frustrated that she couldn't allure him. Second night, same thing happened. And then the third night, she began to chant the Lord's holy names, and she decided to surrender to Haridas Thakur. And she took initiation. Maya, that is Lord Shiva's wife, took initiation from Haridas Thakur. Can you imagine that? Lord Shiva is the guru of Maya Devi, and he initiates her in what mantra? Does anyone know? Nobody knows. Oh my God. Ram Nam. Because Lord Shiva is actually a very good devotee of Lord Ramchandra. In fact, Lord Shiva's expansion serves Lord Ramchandra all the time. Who's Lord Shiva's expansion? Hanuman. At least you knew that. One little thing, you know. So, anyway, so Lord Shiva had been initiating Maya Devi in Ram Nam. But then Maya Devi took initiation in Krishna Nam, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So you can imagine how exalted the position of Haridas Thakur is to give initiation to Maya Devi or to Durga. That's amazing, isn't it? Someone born in a non-Brahmin family, non-Hindu family, and he gave initiation to Durga. And so that shows that if any one of us takes to the holy names, of course, we're not going to initiate Durga, but not that far. But we can achieve the highest status. It's a very simple process. You don't have to do the Vedic mantras. perform havans all day long, you know, fire sacrifices, yajnas all day long. You simply have to chant Hare Krishna and be absorbed. Dina hina yata chilo harinam udarilo. And Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, proved that point by going to America and turning hippies into happies, as Prabhupada said, or turning people into Brahmins and sannyasis. I mean, I'm here because of Prabhupada's mercy, because of Prabhupada chanting the holy name. I heard Prabhupada chanting the holy name on the radio a few times, and that's why I'm here. Pretty amazing, isn't it? A few times, pure chanting. So getting back with Haridas. So that's Haridas Thakur's position. Now today he actually, we're commemorating his passing away. And his passing away is quite interesting, in many respects. We'll tell the story. So once upon a time, Haridas Thakur was actually not able to finish his rounds. We're talking about 300,000 rounds. 300,000 names. That's 192 rounds. And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Haridas Thakur, and Haridas Thakur was lying on his back because he was old. You know, when you get old, there's certain things that happen with the body, which all of you will experience soon. Someone was telling me in Fiji, 35 is considered middle-aged, and in 50, you're over the hill. You know, that's it. Finished. Boss. Finished. No more life left in you. On the average. So, Haridas Thakur was quite old. He was like 80, 90 years old. Actually, 90 years old. And he was lying on his back, and he was chanting very slowly. That's why he couldn't finish his rounds. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to him and said, "What is the problem, Haridas? Are you all right?" And Haridas, being very humble, said, "My body is all right." But he said, "I am in a diseased condition of spiritual life." Why did he say that? "Because I'm not able to finish my rounds." That's interesting, because many of us have excuses. Sometimes we're not able to finish our rounds. So I can't finish because I'm hungry, I'm tired. So many things to do. I remember, I mean, I can say, I'm not bragging, but since I joined the Hare Krishna movement, I've never not finished 16 rounds a day. And sometimes it required being very tricky. I remember in the early days, and I've told this story before, but some of you have not heard. In the early days, I was traveling with a sannyasi, who shall remain nameless, and he wouldn't give me time to chant my rounds. He, you know, tried to keep me busy from 3 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. So what I did is he would send me sometimes to the supermarket to buy some boga for the deities. We had a traveling party. We were preaching. And so I would take 2 hours to buy a carrot. And he would say, "Why were you gone so late? There's a long line in the supermarket. There was accidents on the road." I lied. So I could finish my rounds every day. So we should do that same. Of course, we shouldn't lie. But to finish our rounds is a higher priority. So this is what I was doing. And that's why I was able to complete my rounds. So Haridas Thakur was thinking that because he wasn't able to chant his 300,000, the 3 lakh names a day, that he was feeling very guilty. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Look, you're older, you fulfilled your purpose as the Namacharya. So now you can reduce your number of rounds." And then Haridas Thakur said, "That's not really the problem right now. The real problem is I want your mercy." And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "What do you mean you want my mercy? You have my mercy." And Haridas Thakur said, "I know that you are going to be leaving the planet soon, finishing your pastimes, and I don't want to see that. I don't want to see your final pastimes." Because it's very painful for a devotee to see the final pastimes of the spiritual master or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because I know myself that I never wanted to watch the film where you see Prabhupada in his bed getting ready to leave. I mean, I haven't watched it today, till today. And I know some of you have watched it, but it's too painful. It's too painful. If you love someone, you don't want to see them leaving. Just like Prabhupada commented about Christianity, he said, if someone loves Jesus Christ, they won't want to see him on a cross, right? If you love someone, why do you want to see them that? You want to see them preaching, active. So Haridas Thakur said, I don't want to see your final pastimes. Please let me leave before you leave. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Krishna will fulfill your desire. So the next day, Lord Chaitanya hurried back to see Haridas Thakur. And he asked Haridas Thakur, what is the news? And Haridas Thakur said, whatever your mercy is the news. And the devotees started an ecstatic kirtan around Haridas Thakur, dancing around him. And with his two eyes, it's described they were like bumblebees. They looked at the lotus face and feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he voluntarily left his body like grandfather Bhishma was able to leave his body at will. And looking at Lord Chaitanya, he left his body and went back to the spiritual world. Then what Lord Chaitanya did was quite amazing. Because generally bodies are considered impure. Dead body, isn't it? Like if someone dies in your family, you have so many days, depending on your caste, that you can't go to the temple, right? And you can't, people cook for you, you're not supposed to cook yourself. So Lord Chaitanya picked up the body of Haridas Thakur. Now it's understanding that the body of this pure devotee is spiritual. Because he is engaging in Krishna's service. So the body becomes spiritualized. That's why we have pictures of the spiritual master, pictures of Srila Prabhupada. Because he's engaging the body in Krishna's service. It's a spiritual body. It's not the eternal body the spiritual master has in the spiritual world. But it's a spiritual body. So Lord Chaitanya was dancing with his body. All over, all glorious to Haridas Thakur, he was chanting louder and louder and louder. And he personally dug the hole in the sand where Haridas Thakur's body was. And he personally put the sand over the body. And then he personally arranged for a festival. He went to near the Singha Dwara gate. That means the main gate in Jagannath Puri, because all this happened in Jagannath Puri. And he personally begged food for the festival from all the shopkeepers. And the shopkeepers were delivering all this food. And then he personally served the Vaishnavas as they were taking prasadam and made them eat. So much prasadam is up to the neck, or even higher, up to the mouth. Up to the mouth, or whatever. And then, it's an amazing story how the Lord accepted this person. Lord Chaitanya never did that for anyone else. There's no other story about Lord Chaitanya taking someone's body and then dancing with it. And it's interesting also, there was no period of contamination because it was a pure devotee. When a pure devotee leaves this world, there's no period of contamination. You can go to the temple immediately after that. In fact, with a pure devotee, you take the body of the pure devotee after he leaves this world, the spiritual master or the pure devotee, and you can put him on a palanquin and show, put him in front of the deities, like we did with Prabhupada. Of course, that should not be done with ordinary people, obviously. No, because the temple is not meant for that. And then, with Prabhupada's leaving his body, the devotees took him on Vrindavan Parikrama, which Prabhupada desired, and had a wonderful kirtan, and then there was prasadam distribution. It's actually a celebration. It's bittersweet celebration. It's not that you're saying, you know, I'm glad he left his body so I can do any damn thing now. You know, because I know it's like that when I fly away from Fiji, the devotees are going, Haribo! When the guru's away, the mice will play. We have to install cameras everywhere. That's why we have Madurang with cameras everywhere in the temple. But it's bittersweet, but because when the pure devotee leaves his body, he's going to serve Krishna somewhere else. So it's actually a celebration. Om Pravishta, he enters into the spiritual realm of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So anyway, so this is the story of Haridas Thakur. So on this day, we remember the glorious passing of Haridas Thakur, and it gives us all hope, no matter what our situation, background is, that we can also become pure devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. if we take shelter of the pure chanting. There's different stages of chanting that are described by Haridas Thakur to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he describes in the Harinam Chintamani, which is a very beautiful book written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there's first, there's the Nama Aparada stage, where one commits offenses. Then there's the Nama Bash stage, where one chants, but doesn't mean Krishna means something else, or is joking, or is making fun of the devotees. And even in Nama Bash stage, one becomes free from all bad karma. What to speak of the higher stages. And then after that, there's the clearing stage, where one is getting rid of offenses. And after that, there's the pure stage of chanting the holy names. So we should focus our lives on coming to the point of chanting the holy names purely. Everything else is less important. Like I was pointing out in my story about myself and the rounds, everything else is less important. And if you don't chant, then the whole world goes, then you go to hell. You understand? Everything else. Your money is less important. Your house is less important. Eating is less important. Sleeping is less important. There's nothing more important than chanting. And chanting without offenses, the 10 offenses. Avoiding the 10 offenses and chanting with devotion. That's how you do it. And then you can become great devotee. You can become pure devotee. Why not? Pure devotional service is open to everyone. That is Haridas Thakur's example. All right, so any questions or comments before we take prashanam? So, Sundar Gopal? No? This is Sundar Gopal. He is an old Fiji devotee. I think you all know him, right? Yeah.
In this material world, chanting pure name of God, very, very difficult. Why? It's a lot of disturbance you'll have. You'll have a lot of reflection from chanting, you know. The way you can, how you can do that, you know. Very, very few people can do that.
It's very easy. Why is it so difficult? We are difficult. The chanting is easy, but we're the difficult ones. So what you can do, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave some instructions. He said if you're having trouble, your mind is being diverted, you can, he even said that sometimes you can put like a, some sort of a blanket over your head. He talked about that. In the beginning stage, he mentions, for those who are not able to focus their minds, you put a blanket over your head, you put some ear plugs in, and you turn off the television. He didn't say television, though. I'm making that one up. So, and you keep pulling the mind back. That's the clearing stage. You keep pulling the mind back. Wherever it wanders, you keep pulling it back under the control of the self. And to give yourself some motivation for chanting, you should think of why you're chanting. Devotees often ask me, you know, how can I focus? Think of why you're chanting before you start chanting. What do you want? Even if you're like Dhruva Maharaj, who wanted a kingdom greater than that of his great-grandfather, Lord Brahma, at least that motivates you to chant. I remember when I first joined the movement, it's interesting what motivated me to chant. I would eat a sweet ball after each round. I thought of, I have to admit it. I thought that's when I was eating sugar. So I thought that if I chanted nicely and purely, I would reward myself with a sweet ball. So I chant. Of course, I would always chant in the prashanam room. But so I chant, Hare Krishna, very purely, and then, oh, great. And there was a famous quote from Prabhupada that if someone offers you prasadam while you're chanting with your right hand, you can actually take the prasadam with your left hand. And that is it. So that was my favorite quote. So it's true. I mean, it's a true story. So that gave me the motivation to chant in the beginning for prasadam. And then later on, actually, another motivation I had, I mean, just being open and honest, was that I wanted to get out of this material world. So I would chant to Krishna, or Krishna's names, Krishna, please liberate me. And at night, before I went to sleep, I would chant, and ask Krishna to kill me that night. So I could go back to Godhead to get out of this miserable material world. So I would tie my bead bag to my hand while I was sleeping. This is how I would sleep, you know, just tie it like this. Hare Krishna, Hare. And chant myself to sleep and say, Krishna, please kill me tonight. And so I can go back to Godhead. Not just kill me. So I go back to Godhead. So that was another motivation. Fortunately, Krishna didn't do it. I'm still around. And that wasn't it wasn't a pure motivation. That was a mixed motivation. Like Krishna says in the Gita, four types of people approach him. One of those types is the person who is seeking to relieve himself from distress. And that's what I was attempting to do. Because it was very distressful living in the Brahmachari ashram. Because we were only allowed to get 5 hours of sleep a night. And all day long I was driving a car and falling asleep as I was driving a car. So I thought better to go back to Godhead. And the temple president was yelling at me. So I thought, better get liberation. So anyway, so that was another motivation I had. So your motivation gets purified as you go on in Krishna consciousness. So now I'm just thinking, Krishna, you know, just let me serve Prabhupada and please Prabhupada. So that's my latest motivation. Nice motivation, isn't it? So, but that's a pure motivation. So as we chant, we should take advantage of your motivation like Dhruva Maharaj did. And when Dhruva Maharaj saw Lord Krishna, Lord Narayan, he said, I was looking for some pieces of broken glass and I found a beautiful giant diamond or beautiful gem. So whatever, you know, akama, sarvakama, moksha, kama, dharati, tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whatever your motivation, pray to Krishna for it. Don't go to the demigods. I know it's Ganesh Chaturdasi today, but even Ganesh goes to Krishna for what he wants. You understand? It's described in the Brahma Samhita that Ganesh, on his tumali, he holds the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality, the dust of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's a devotee. So, yeah, anyway, we should pray to Krishna and be focused in that way. So figure out what you want in life. And you can pray for other people too. What I do sometimes is I figure out the person who hates me the most and I pray for him. And that's powerful chanting. We mentioned that the other day. The person, let's say the person who hates you the most or you don't like, and you pray for his welfare or her welfare. That's powerful. If you do that, Krishna will give you special mercy. And then you won't hate the person anymore. You'll love them. And you can pray for compassion. You can pray for the potency to preach Krishna consciousness. You can pray for someone else. You can pray, you know, just like as a guru, I have to pray for my disciples all the time. 24 hours a day it's required. I had to get some real powerful prayers for them. But and then I ask other people to pray for my disciples too. Because it's not enough that I'm doing it. Isn't it? Fourfold miseries. Atmik, Adi Bodhik, Adi Daivik, Adi Disciple. So, it's a joke. So we have to find something that motivates us. Sankalpa, just like before you do a Vedic performance, you have a sankalpa. That means the intention, what you're going to do, why you're going to do it, where you are, what your intention is. And then you can be focused. Actually, my most focused japa is when there's some difficulty. Queen Kunti talks like that too. She says, she wants difficulty to happen again and again, because I don't want it. That's Queen Kunti. But she wants difficulty to happen again and again, so she'll always remember Krishna. Because when everything's going well, it's hard to remember Krishna, isn't it? Like everybody's kind to you. Then it's, Krishna, who is he? Isn't it? But when everybody's turning against you, the weather is bad, you have some sickness, you know, you have to use grog lotion on your skin. Yeah, so driving here the other day, I saw this advertisement, grog lotion. I thought they added grog to the lotion. I said, this is crazy here in Fiji. They put grog in the lotion and they put it on their skin. But then Sanatana explained to me, it's to keep the skin nice when you're drinking grog. So anyways, it's not a fancy way of taking grog. So we pray like that and remain focused. When difficulty is there, then it makes us more focused on Krishna. And the material world is difficult. I mean, I see people dying, getting sick all the time. I mean, it's a painful place. Very painful place. If you read the news, you'll hear so much pain. So many murderers and people starving and people mistreated. It's very painful. And here are the animals being mistreated, like the cows being slaughtered. All right. So any other questions before we eat prasadam? Yeah.
Since there are so many vegetables, how can we serve them all and satisfy them?
How do you serve them all? Serve a few of them. You don't have to... You serve them all by preaching, but you serve the ones that are nearest to you and available. Obviously, you can't serve every Vaishnava, but during the Sunday feast, you can come and serve everybody prasadam. That way you can serve more Vaishnavas than any other time. That's what I do in Suva, isn't it? I serve devotees during the Sunday feast. It's actually very blissful to serve people. It's better than eating when you serve. The servant is enjoying more than the eater. And there will always be enough prasadam left for you later on, don't worry. I've never experienced a lack of prasadam in the Hare Krishna movement. It's too much. Okay, so then we should take prasad now on that happy note. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Gaura Premananda, Hari Hari Bhai.